Former Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold is staying involved in politics. While teaching at Stanford, the Democrat has written a book called While America Sleeps. He argues that we are steadily dumbing down our political debate.
We've even had people make fun of candidates and people who know something about the rest of the world. You know, recently Gingrich ran an ad attacking Romney because he knew French.
Feingold's book is part argument, part memoir of his years in the Senate, which ended in defeat in 2010. He recalls being in groups of senators who met foreign leaders, like a group including Jesse Helms, who met Israel's then Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin.
But he was getting ready to greet the prime minister, who was a little late, and one of my staff members said that, well, actually in Israel, they pronounce Rabin, Robin. Well, the senator took that in, and in walks the prime minister of Israel, and Senator Helms says to him, well, the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along. And I just couldn't believe I was standing there watching this.
So there is something kind of appealing about these moments, but you seem to think that at the same time that the Senate as a body and we as a country were missing things that were really important.
Yeah, I mean, the founders of the country intended the Senate to be involved in foreign policy, confirming ambassadors, approving treaties, and generally to be involved in watching the executive branch on these issues. I think that also means when we have an enormous shock like 9/11 that it's not just the president, the CIA, and the military that are involved, but regular oversight and involvement from the Senate and from members of Congress. And that started pretty well after 9/11. But of course, when we got into the Iraq situation, things became very divisive. And I think we got on a tremendously bad track that members of Congress fell into where we could only think about sort of one place at a time. It was either Afghanistan or Iraq. We lurched from one location to another. You know, for a while last year, we were talking about Yemen. Now all the conversation is about Iran. And, of course, Iran's critical. But does anyone really believe that this whole threat of al-Qaeda and their related groups is over? We are in a position where we're going to get surprised again if all we can do is think about one other country at a time and not look at other threats, not just al-Qaeda, what's going on with China, what's going on with the influence of other countries around the world. We seem to not be comfortable with engaging the rest of the world.
You know, there may be something that calls to be explained here, Senator, because if there are people who know something of your record, they may know, well, Russ Feingold was very concerned about what he felt was the erosion of civil liberties at home, and he was very concerned about the war in Iraq and very opposed to that. And yet it sounds like you are actually arguing for a different but perhaps even more aggressive approach to terrorism rather than a less aggressive approach.
I'm looking for an international approach, not necessarily an aggressive approach. Getting ahead of threats like this, not necessarily in an aggressive way, but having some understanding and presence in northern Nigeria, for example, the Islamic part of that country. I'm not talking about invading it. I'm not even talking about necessarily the issue of the explosions that have occurred. What I'm talking about is we don't know much about the place.
Do you think the White House is looking at those issues in a serious enough way?
I think it's a big improvement over the Bush administration, frankly. I think the president's efforts in his speech in Cairo, his trip to Indonesia, his trip to India, a number of these things show that he has a global vision and that I think he wants to engage the American people in talking about that. I think he'll be reelected, and I think he will be the president that will help us make this shift. My main concern is that I think the administration is a little overconfident about what's going on with al-Qaeda. But overall, I think he has the subtlety and the understanding to become a very great president in terms of helping us connect with the rest of the world as I thought we were going to do after 9/11.
What's a sign of that overconfidence as you see it in regards to al-Qaeda?
Well, I saw, for example, John Brennan and some of the other counterterrorism experts say after Osama bin Laden was killed and al-Awlaki was killed.
Brennan's a top counterterrorism person at the White House, of course. Go ahead.
Yes. And then, you know, and of course, al-Awlaki was in Yemen. You know, that, you know, we've got these guys on the run. They're just about finished. But one of the former counterterrorism experts who I really respect, Michael Leiter, said this is a mistake, that actually a lot of what's going on, especially in northern Africa, in Nigeria, in Somalia, the Horn of Africa, is very dangerous, is very much alive. And I think we're making this same mistake by not listening to counterterrorism expert Leiter's remarks in that regard.
When you were in the Senate, as you recount it, there were quite a few instances in which you ended up going on an overseas trip with a group of senators, and more than once that you were accompanied by Republican John McCain or invited by John McCain, whom you had worked with, of course, on a very famous piece of campaign finance legislation. How'd you guys get along on those trips?
Oh, just great. It was John was terrific. He would frequently invite me on the trips. I couldn't always go, but he went on many trips, and he always wanted a little bit of balance. You know, he purposely invited me along so I'd present the other view. When we were on one of the planes heading toward Kuwait with people like Tim Pawlenty and John Huntsman and some of these folks, John Thune, I think
all
the
Republican
other
politicians, right?
Republican politicians were sort of wondering, why is Feingold here? You know, he's the number one opponent of the Iraq War. And I made a comment, and John says, well, this is Russ Feingold. We bring him along because he's consistent. Consistently wrong. So they seemed relieved after John put me down. But, of course, we're dear friends. And it really, I think, was a more stimulating trip by having people of different perspectives. And it helped in the meetings as well.
It is interesting in several of the trips you describe in this book, though, that the group of you would go to the same places. You would meet approximately the same people. You'd be in the same briefings. You'd have the same conversations. And yet your impression of the situation would remain radically different than Senator McCain's or other people's.
Well, that's where I have a lot of concern. If we were in Iraq or Afghanistan, even though the meetings often showed real problems with continuing the intervention, basically the politicians were put in a position both by the administration and even by the political games that are played to say, well, you know, things are getting better, the insurgency is in its last throes, and I was very disappointed in the green zone to see all my colleagues sort of parrot that, even though the evidence we had heard was just the opposite, that clearly the Iraqi insurgency at that time in 2005 and 2006 was nowhere near being in its last throes. So I didn't think it was being candid with the American people, and I think it unnecessarily extended that war, and the same kind of language is unnecessarily extending the Afghanistan war, where I think the president should not have increased the troops there and where we should have a timeline to get the troops out now.
Russ Feingold, former Democratic senator from Wisconsin, is the author of While America Sleeps. Senator, thanks very much.
Thanks. It was great.
You hear him on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.